multiplied cases, especially in the day that we're living in. Coming to church is routine, and it gets to be a custom. The Bible said it was the custom of the Lord Jesus to all come to the church every Sabbath day or the synagogue. And it gets to be a custom, which is not a bad custom. But at the same time, it becomes routine, and then we fail to really receive the benefits of Christ and the great wonderful meaning of coming to church. And it's lost. The great meaning is lost in the ritualistics and practices of religion and with all its formality. And then, of course, when time comes for us to benefit from going to church, we don't benefit because we have become routinists. That's not very exciting. That's not beneficial at all. And that doesn't please God. Because as I've said, I don't know of anything more boring than going to church unless you're going to meet with Christ and the saints and you're going to have your heart stirred and enlightened to that wonderful gift of eternal life and that wonderful blessing that God gives us to the abundance of all things. Being the Prince of Life, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. I was telling Joseph the other night. He was talking about the camp meeting and the advertisement. I was just telling Joe, I said, Joe, the one thing you need to remember about Jesus, the ministry of Jesus was life. My sheep follow me, they hear my voice, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundant, because I am the Prince of Life. You will not come to me that you might have life, Jesus said. And on, my words are spirit and they are life. And the whole thrust of the ministry of Jesus was to bring life because he knew that people were under the penalty of death. And he told him, he said, I've not come into the world to condemn you, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned because of the evil that had been committed. And he said, I didn't come to condemn you, but God sent me into the world to save you. For he sent not his son to condemn you, but rather that through him he might be saved. Because there's no more salvation, there's no more life, except in the Lord Jesus Christ. So then in this we find that Jesus always taught life. It was the abundance of living. And the thing that he came for was not to set up a church and get a group of following or have some great outstanding name or prestige or whatever. He simply came to help you because he had the abundance of life and he became the Prince of Life. And Satan is the prince of this world, but Jesus is the Prince of Life. And he came to share with you life, filled up and overflowing. And I could go on and go on just talking to you for the next 2 hours just on life and Jesus' mission into the world. But today, ministers are interested in getting control of the people. And they are looking for abundance of life. And if they can get your paycheck, they're going to live it up and have that abundance of life. Because they're going to be famous and they're going to be some kind of celebrity. And they're going to be your Lord and Master. And they're going to rule over you. And you're going to run after them like a little flock of chicks. And they're just going to have themselves a time at your expense. But folks, let me tell you, those ministers are ministers of the devil. And they love the things of the world and they have the love of the world in them and the love of the Father is not in them. And because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the grace of God is given, then the rain is upon the tares as well as the wheat. So they glitter and they're filled with glamour and filled with the things of the world and the lust of the flesh. And they do all of these things to obtain their goals and to take advantage of you. And someday God will bring them down. He'll bring them all down. For they exalt themselves through all their money and their personalities and all of the things as to preparations of the flesh. And their thrust is for the love of the world. And Satan has control of them. And though they get up and minister the word, and though the Spirit of God comes down, yet it isn't because they are a Christian. It isn't because they are of God. It's because all of this is already available to you as all things that pertain unto life, that the rain should be upon the unjust until God can reach the just to keep it all alive, even the tare and the wheat, until he can get control of the wheat, bring a harvest, and then gather the grain into the garners, and then he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So then they have all the medical benefits and everything that comes with grace and with mercy, which will be taken away at the catching away of the church, which is close at hand right now. So in this, they do minister the word. The Bible said they transformate their minds. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. And these that love the wages of unrighteousness, as it was with Balaam, and to love the things of the world, even as Saul did. See, they transformate their minds. Jesus said, they sit in the seat of Moses, and you should do what they tell you, but don't do after their ways, for they say and do not. So they are sitting there, and they come up, they transformate their minds. And the Bible said that these are ministers of darkness. And they are devils, and they have doctrines of devils. But just as Satan being an angel of light by transforming himself into an angel of light, he quoted the scripture. And light means understanding. He came with the word and quoted the word to Jesus. And those ministers, they get up and they quote the word to you. And they'll preach you a sermon about the little widow and how she gave her all. And that this is the route that you should follow. That you should give your all. And they are very glad that you do, because they got big buckets to take all of it, so that they can make sure they can get it while you're in that frame of mind. They don't tell you of your sins. They don't reprove you of your wrongs. They don't do anything that, as we say, would put any ripples in the water. They make sure everything is just so, because they don't want to lose anybody. They don't want to lose anybody. They want them all to come. All denominations come. All kind of people come. All kind of races. And they take in the millions and millions and multiplied millions of dollars. And if they were giving it to the needy, the poor, world evangelism for winning souls, it would be wonderful. But they don't do that. They do compass land and sea and have big crusades and whatever. But Jesus told them, said, you compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. And that was the words in which he said it. So they do compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. And the Lord said that they transformed themselves. Paul spoke of this. Transformed themselves into ministers of light. Or they transformed their minds into preaching the word. And in their minds they become very word minded in college and school and whatever. And all they're saying and doing is nothing more than an intellectual thing that they're bringing to you. And that's all it is. Just an intellectual thing. Just as Satan quoted the word to Jesus. But as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement or on the mercy seat, the rain's going to come down. And that means that when you talk about the word, people are going to be stirred by faith. And when they're stirred by believing, then something's going to happen. And miracles are going to take place. And people are going to repent. And people are going to cry like Esau. And great, wonderful revivals will strike the land as to what it would appear. And they'll be shouting and speaking in tongues and dancing and gifts and whatever. But as with Balaam, the gift didn't do him any good. He was still a soothsayer, and God had him killed. And his thrust was for money, though he did have a gift. As I've said before, they sell their gifts to the devil. People are born with gifts, and there is gifts. And they use them for the devil, as to the flesh, to love the things of the world. You go by, here sits a woman over here, or a man over here that's a fortune teller. And some of them have gifts. And they perverted the gifts, and they'll charge you so much to tell you about so many things. And they're using it for the benefit of the flesh. And since the blood is on the seat of atonement, and the grace is there, and the Spirit of God is moving, so then they use their gift by the mercy of God and the blood that's on the seat of atonement, and give the devil the advantage of it, which is bad. Whereas it's not bad in that they gave the woman or whoever it was some money. It wasn't bad that they gave her a gift. The bad part was that she was charging for her gift. Someone would say, well, don't you think it's bad that they even gave something and they took it? No. When Saul and them went over to see Samuel the seer, They had lost some of their animals, and they went over and said, let's go by Samuel. Said, he'll know where they're at. And so Samuel the seer, being a seer, he told him where it was lost at and whatever. But they said, let's take him a gift. And they did, and Samuel received it. See, so they that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar, but it depends on the approach. It depends on what you're doing. It depends it depends on whether or not you're giving your gift to God. That's what it amounts to. So we're living in a very dangerous time. It is so close, it would deceive the very elect if possible. All these charismatic things that we read to you about the other night in the paper. All these people that's got together this great charismatic order. Finally, they went to the Pope, as the paper stated. And the Pope blessed them, like I told you he would, and said, I'm glad that my children have come home. And so then as to what the Bible has said, that I will prepare a bed of adultery for an adulterous generation. I will cast her into a bed of adultery, and I will burn her children with fire. So, as it was with Martin Luther, we realize that all of these things have sprung out from the great Roman church, and that they are harlots. These churches have a name that they live, but they are dead. And though you may call them ever so many names as to religious terms, yet they are dead. And there are people in the world that are filled with ambition and zeal, religion, but it is a true fact that they live in trespasses and sin, and so they are dead while they are living, and some's already crossed the deadline. So they are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So we see what a dangerous time. It's so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible, and the elect would follow after. But since it's not possible to deceive the elect, then it's very evident that the elect will regain their composure if they get carried away in that and realize that it's not God. So those ministers that are up behind the sacred desk, when they dazzle with all of their worldliness and as to the glory of Satan, which is the glory of the world, then ye beware lest ye lose your soul. They'll turn you away from the simplicity of the gospel as to that which is in Christ Jesus. But they that love the Lord won't be carried about by every wind of doctrine and by somebody saying, thus saith the Lord, and always prophesying, telling people something. As a young minister told me today, somebody back out in a western area somewhere, I was dissatisfied with his conduct because he would not become one of their followers, and prophesied that he was whale vomit, I believe. I never heard that prophecy before, but anyway. You know, it is nothing but ignorance, and it's nothing but people that are going, so I say, oh, Brother Pike, don't you dare. Oh, yes, I do dare. It's nothing but vomit on God's table. Let's give the Lord a hand. So sometimes they get the cart before the horse, and they realize that they're the vomit, and they're coming against a son of God or a daughter of God that's preordained to come to something real and godly. So don't be afraid, just keep on, hold your composure, keep on going, and everything's going to be all right. We come here to talk with you with our hearts filled up with revelation and filled up with the deep mysteries of God. But these little things we say every now and then to program your mind to where you can understand and to where you can differentiate. See, this is a word of spirit and a word of life, and I just love to come up here where I could just take my time and relax and let the Spirit speak expressly, as Paul said, and hearts would be so hungry that they wouldn't come into the church waiting and hurrying to see what was going to be said and get it all said and leave and go do whatever they want to. You know, but they'd shake that old fleshly thing off, and they'd come like children in school, and they'd just sit down, as we say, for the day as to their lessons and study. And they'd start believing and loving the Lord and say, my God, God's here. And I say, if you don't believe God's here, then you don't need to come. You don't need to waste your time and God's time if he isn't here. But if you do, then come believing that God is here and that you're not coming to hear Brother Pike speak. You're coming to hear God speak. Someone says, well, I come to hear Brother Pike speak. Well, you're wasting your time because I don't know nothing. I don't have nothing to say. Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing, so you're just wasting your time and my time too. But he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and he comes to hear God speak, we are the temple of God. And God will speak. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent. For Paul said, it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father. And if it is God Almighty, then you need to be exceedingly strong in faith and reverence to know how to conduct yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth, and how to behave yourself in his temple. So, someone would say, well, bless God, I guess you think you're God. No, I didn't say anything about me being God. I haven't said a word about me being a God. Not one word did I say. Jesus said I was a God. Let's get it on. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll take his word for it. If he said it, I believe it. All right. So then here we are as a temple for God to speak through to you. And when we begin to believe, then he speaks. And he tells us wonderful, great things. As a matter of fact, I would like to have commented some on faith tonight. I'm always kind of caught when in between, you know, when I get up here, because I see the present day truth by his grace. Oh, I see the past truths by his grace and the future truths by his grace. And I get up here and I'll have a number of things on my mind that I want to talk about, of the deep, deep mysteries of God. And for days and weeks I want to talk about them. And I can't find the inspiration, because I can't find the hunger and thirst. And then I bypass it and I go to something else. And then they, like for instance, if we talked about these things tonight as to what I'd like to talk about concerning faith, it would be a very simple approach, very simple as to the things I would say. And yet it would be deeper than an artesian well. It would be so deep, as I said them tonight, if the Lord should speak and allow that to be. Then if I said them, some of you, very few of you, and then you'd really have to be on your toes, as we say. You would get the message. The others would hear what I had to say and put it together, and they would enjoy it. And they'd say, well, now that makes sense. But it's to the revelation. They would not get the revelation of it, because the revelation is very deep. The Bible said, launch out into the deep. And that the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things of God. So should I say them unless you really got in the anointing and listened? You wouldn't get them. You know, one of the problems of the church is that when they come together, they're so wondering as to whether the preacher is anointed or whether he's going to get anointed. You know, I've told you, he is God's anointed. And they're so wondering about that, that they fail to get anointed themselves. Someone said, now wait a minute. You say that you are the anointed, and then you speak of the people coming to church getting anointed. Well, the Bible said when Peter spoke to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And so then the anointing came, because the rain is upon the just and the unjust. See, so when the anointing comes as to the minister speaking to you, you might be God's. You might belong to God, but unless your body is under subjection to the Spirit, unless your body is completely given to the Spirit, or as to whatever measure, then that means that's where you're standing in the light of God and the blessings of the Lord. So let's read just a little bit tonight, and we'll comment and see if there's any hunger or thirst as to whatever Jesus is saying to us. In the book of St. Mark, it's the 14th chapter, said, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he set at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Now Jesus goes on down to the 35th verse. He says, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. All right, there's a real good lesson for us to consider. Watch ye and pray. Praying in the garden, I made the statement the other day. Here Jesus is praying in the garden. Before he ever went to Calvary, he had already won the battle. Wrestling in the garden when all went to sleep and left him right by himself, knowing the terrible ordeal that was before him and understanding that he had to go to Calvary, he wrestled and he wrestled with this thing. Not as that God should take away Calvary nor the cross. It was just such a crushing thing to know that his countenance would be marred more than any man, and that they'd plow his back like a field, and that they would do all these things of driving the thorns down into his skull. See, and beating him, all these kind of things, he knew that. And the weight as to that moment of acknowledgement was so great. He did not ask God to take away Calvary. He did not ask God to take away the suffering. He said, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth, and he came as our sacrifice. He did not pray for God to take that away. But he did pray, God, Father, take this hour from me. This weariness, this heaviness, this hour, take it away. Let me get through. Let me be refreshed. Have you ever, Grady, a lot of times Grady used to sing a song, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? And of course, Grady has. You know, and when you think about a cup of loneliness with the Lord, Paul said, I seek to know him in the fellowship of his loneliness or his suffering. You know, we want to know him in the heights of his glory, and we want to know him as the great resurrection, and we want to know him with the gifts and with the power and the glitter and the glamour. We want to know him as ruling on the throne. We want to know him, you know, as some great something that everybody will admire and follow us. See, but that's not the way to seek to know him. The Bible said to equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Seek to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, to submit your body. Submit yourself to the bruisers and to the liars and them that's going to say things against you. Don't revile back. The Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile again. Commit yourself to God. You know, and when they spit on you and they mock you and they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, just watch and pray, lest you give into the flesh and enter into temptation. See, and when they do all manner of evil against you, the Bible said, be ye exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. So when he was reviled, he reviled not again. See, he didn't try to prove his point. I remember a vision I had one time. It comes to my mind. And in this vision, I was so concerned about my people. And I went to my people. And I thought, now I've got to do something for my people because the enemy was coming in. And it was a vicious, vicious thing. They were attacking us. And I thought, they're going to kill my spiritual children. They're going to kill my people. And I got to do something. And I set in to do all that I could. And in doing it, I got all of my people together. I kept working with them, and I got them together. And I got them over this fence. And all of them were safed on the other side. And everyone was safe but me. And when I got to the fence, after I got the last one over, I had been shot full of holes. All over, I was shot full of holes. I was still going, but I was shot full of holes. And I was still on this side of the fence. Now, see, I said that to say this, that whether the vision be of God or not, as to whatever you might think, I know what he was telling me, but the thing is, we are supposed to give ourselves for the sake of the people. Jesus gave himself for the sake of the people. If you are a Christian, if you are a devout person, if you are born to be a leader, especially as a shepherd, then you should be willing to die for the people and sacrifice yourself for the people. Not as to go out here and get yourself shot or killed by trying to be bold and brave and smart and say things that doesn't make any sense. You know, approving your courage, that's not courage, that's foolishness. But the thing is, when it comes right down to the basics, you stand like a man and be of good courage, God said to Joshua. Don't be afraid with any kind of amazement. I'm with you. I'll give the place to you wherever you set your foot. Show yourself a man, he said to Joshua, and resist the enemy. Draw close to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Stand, for I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be afraid. Neither let it be troubled. But see, you give your back to the bruises. They can do whatever they want to. They can say whatever they want to. You're not going to retaliate. You're not going to come back at them. When you're reviled, you're not going to revile again. You're just going to say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're either children in the Lord that's all mixed up, and I need to help them and not scold them just because they stick out their tongue at me, because they curse me. Or either they're just beasts and don't understand. And just go on, even if they're brute beasts. There's some that's brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. But just go on. See, like this man that they sent to the electric chair, he killed these two young boys, brutally killed them. See, that's a brute beast. That's not a son of God. See, that's not a predestinated of God. People who resent after that they've come to know the gospel, and people who are jealous, and people who are haughty, and people who are hard-hearted and self-willed, they are beasts. Maybe not brute beasts, but they are beasts. But those that kill and those that come to the vicious way of life, those are brute beasts. In the Old Testament, if there was an ox that gored somebody to death, the Lord said, put him to death. See, he didn't want him to live. And in the millennium, there's going to be beasts of all kind, elephants and lions and ox and all kind, even the cockatrice, but not one of them will harm. The Bible said, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. For Satan shall be bound 1,000 years. And that whole 1,000 years, everything will be wonderful and peaceful and quiet. And the people of God, along with the Jews, they'll just have the greatest kind of time. For there they'll be able to live and build houses, the Bible said, and plant vineyards, have their own cattle. Nobody will be able to take it away from them. It'll be this very same earth. Somebody said, well, the same world. No. A world is a system. One system comes and passes away. Another passes away. When the old world is the system passes away. Peter said in his day, and to you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, is to another system. Now we're on the verge of another system passing away. But the Bible said, the earth abideth forever, for God made it to be inhabited. One generation will come and it will go, and then another it will come and it will go, but the earth abideth forever. And so then this very earth right here, before it's changed into the new earth, all of a sudden the curse will be lifted. It'll be like the garden. Everything will be beautiful. The roses, the flowers, the honeysuckle, the bees, every fowl, every kind of species that was ever extinct. It's coming back. It'll be beautiful. They'll roam the earth and everything will be so lovely. You won't see an animal with a disease, or you won't see an animal, you know, that's all pulled down and drab. That fur and that hair will be as a sheen with the sun shining into ice. They'll be so beautiful and radiant with health, and the species of God as to the human beings will also be that way. And it'll be such a beautiful, wonderful time, because Satan and sickness and poverty and all these things will be gone. See, but today we are as sons of God in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation today. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in the midst of us, there are false brothers and there are false sisters right here in the midst of us, even Bethlehem. See, and they are there for none other reason than to be spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. You know, you put on a garment, it's so beautiful, and then after a while you get an ink spot on it, or you get a grease spot on it. See, they are those spots. Because you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to your outer being, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, which means you are the covering of the Spirit of Christ. And Christ dwells on the inside of you. And every one of these that is intermingled with this bodily members of Christ, it means a spot on that garment as to hinder. See, so it is not part of the garment. It is something that must be taken away. And Jesus going down into the chambers of hell, just as the grandmother when she used to punch the old pot with the fire up under it. See, Jesus went through all of this to the washing of regeneration, to do away with your spots by doing away with the law and bringing you under grace. And today you're precious children in the Lord, and you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And you are now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, called the beautiful garments. God saying, put on your beautiful garments. Oh Zion, put on your beautiful garments. And you're going to be then without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Take this life as to this heavenly treasure that's on the inside. Make it manifest in your mortal genes. And let the detergents of the word wash out all of the spots as you go through fire. Try and zip the fire. See, and as you go through it as to the purging, and then come forth as gold. Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And when I'm tried, he'll bring me forth as gold. So then that makes us to know that this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is now seeing you as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your suffering is now gone. Your heartaches is now gone. Your problems is now gone. All that Jesus did was for you, not for him. He was already perfect. See, but he came that life as to that perfection, which was the image in which he was made in the garden, because he was made in the spiritual image of perfection, to be perfect. And when it was lost to the beastly thing, then the Lord differentiated and he segregated and he divided asunder. Even Calvary showed it as to the dividing asunder, as to the marrow from the bone, the spirit from the soul, and as to the spirit from the body. The Lord divided asunder as to the rent veil, and now you are the separated, priceless, resurrected garment of Almighty God, and you have put it on through Christ Jesus. So then, put on your beautiful garment. Make your effort to deny the flesh and to get rid of all the spots and to get rid of that old beastly thing and have no company with them. Even a brother, if it's a brother, if he walks disorderly, don't fellowship him. If it's a sister, if she walks disorderly, don't say, well, poor sister, I'll help her. You know, she just don't understand. I know she's been in this 10 years, but she's making her mistake. She just watches her little old bit of television and she just smokes a little old cigarette and whatever. Don't be a fool, because to take that outlook, that means that you are just as dirty and filthy and in the muck. She's in the muck. She's not a sister. She's a beast. And you are a beast too, because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. But if it is a sister and she's stumbling, you know, stumbling along, and you know that she's careless when she ought not to be careless, and she's walking disorderly, and you talk to her, then get away from her, because evil communication is going to cover up good manners. Leave her alone. The Heavenly Father is going to take her by the chastisement post, and he's going to chasten her real good. And when he brings her back, she's going to do right. Or he's going to do right. He's going to chasten him, and he's going to do right. If there's resentment, if there's jealousy, if there's these things that they are allowing in their heart, they'll go by the chastisement post. See, every son that cometh to God, he scourgeth him first. So then just don't mess with them. Leave them alone. Stay away from them. Withdraw from them, even though they're a brother. Don't treat them as an enemy, but let them be ashamed. And if a person is not a brother or sister, then get away from them. Withdraw yourself from everyone. If they walk disorderly, don't you dare go around them. See, it'll only mess your life up. And the first news you know, 3 years have gone, 5 years have gone, 7 years have gone, and you've been messing around that old pig hole out there or with that old mess out there, and your life is gone. And then when God wants some fruit unto perfection, he's calling on you, and you don't have time to do it because you've done used your life up, contrary to the word, contrary to the minister, bringing all kind of problems and sicknesses, all kind of reproaches to the church, hindering the minister and everything, grieving the minister, and that's not profitable comfortable for you. So then you don't get the blessings you need and you're in problems. So do what the Word says. Train your mind to the Word. Program your mind to the Word. Do exactly what the Word says. If there be one among you that's called a brother or sister that's a fornicator, the Bible said, don't you as much as eat with them. Don't say, well, the poor person just couldn't help it. You know, they've been with us 10 years. Get away from them. That's why it sounds so hard. When I say something about the ministers and these kind of people that are doing those kind of things, the Bible said, don't as much as eat with them. Somebody said, well, the poor fella, I feel like, or the poor woman, you ought to just forgive them, you know, just plain forgive them. I pray this way, Lord, you forgive them. I forgive them, Lord, but I don't want nothing to do with them at all until I see a change in their life and see full repentance and see them coming back in tears and see them make an effort day after day and month after month to really straighten up their life. I don't want to even have any fellowship with them. I'll preach to them. They're welcome to come to church or whatever, but I don't want nothing to do with them. See, this whole generation is an adulterous generation. And the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Few there's going to be that finds this. Think now, if out of all the fornicators, all of the adulterers, by the time you separate the people from them, young and old alike, then you don't have a whole lot. And then by the time you go down the line and you begin to separate people from brothers that walks disorderly as to jealousy, sisters as to things that they're doing or saying or stumbling and staggering along, half-hearted, my, by the time you withdraw from that, it really is a little flop. So, I say again to you, though I'm just exhorting you tonight, I'm not getting into the program that I had for tonight. I'm not getting into the wonderful things that I wanted to talk about faith, nor am I getting into the revelation of the things that I want to talk about the deep mysteries of God, but just a few common things as to what we need for today and what God expects of us. We are sons of God, and we are in a wilderness among serpents, a generation of serpents that's trying to bite us all the time, and we're looking at Calvary to protect ourselves so that we won't be bit by the wretched things. And we are in the midst of ravening wolves. We are in the midst of beasts. And all of these people that are around us are beasts. And all of their churches, though they're tables of God, yet Jesus turned over the tables, wrung the people out, and charged them with making the Father's house a place of money changers, and said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. You're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you were cold and out in the world to where the blood could stay on the seat of atonement and I could work with you. I would that you were hot, fervent, burning with the fire of God and the zeal of God so that I could bless you. But because you're just lukewarm and in and out and up and down and half-hearted, you vomit to me. I'll just spew you out of my mouth. So he spewed the world out of his mouth, and all of these religious tables are filled with vomit. You that come here that have resentment, you know that you're not born again. I mean, let's look at it like it is. Sometimes a person will feel a spirit of resentment strike them, you know, and it will trouble them. And they'll shake it. They'll get rid of it. They will get rid of it, and they won't tarry. The Bible said not to give place to Satan, no, not for a moment. And jealousy will strike them. All kind of spirits will strike at them. But as it was, Paul, when that thing bit him, he just shook it off in the fire. You know, and when you do that, you need to pray and strengthen yourself. And the Lord will help you because he was tempted just like you was in every way. And he can secure you or succor you. He can take care of you. You're taken care of. You don't have to worry. But you people that have this as a habitual thing, you come to the sanctuary with a regularity, you always resent the preacher. You always are jealous, jealousy or a hatred or something that's always a resistance in you. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, you will go to hell. Because you can't possibly have the nature of the Son of God within you. You are fleshly. You are carnal minded. Though you be ever so religious, though you participate in the activities here at Bethlehem, if you are habitual, you know, and you've just got to sit around and watch TV and the non-virtuous things and read magazines and read newspaper, and you just got to make your little joke, and you've just got to be with people that are real worldly minded and talking about something carnal and something natural, I tell you that you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have God, and your joy is in the satisfaction of the flesh, Satan within you. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And you're not right with God. And if you'll cut corners as a habitual thing, you know, and if you'll slide by with this little bitter, you got to hold on to this little passion in the world, or this little thing in the world, or this little way in the world. I tell you that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not born again. I cannot say that you are not a believer, because you are a believer. But so is the devil. I cannot tell you that you don't want to go to heaven, because the devil wants to go to heaven. You know, he likes this heaven. He's getting the blessings of heaven right now, as in the second heaven, as to the blood being on the seat of atonement. But he's to be cast out. He's to be cast out of heaven. When the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that John saw us through the revelation, as to seeing the condition of things and where Satan's kingdom is, Satan is to be cast out. It showed it there in the book of Revelation. Now, with this, if you are habitual in those things, then let's face facts. You're not born again. You may be blessed, but you are a tare. You may speak in tongues and the Spirit of the Lord may come upon you, but you're still a tare. You're still a tare. But folks, when you get God, it won't just be the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you to prophesy. You are God's person. You are God's temple. You are the one in whom God dwells. He walks in you. He talks in you. He never leaves you. He's with you 24 hours around the clock. He's always with you. He'll never leave you. Never leave you. Never leave you. Nor forsake you. And you don't have to worry as to the furies of God that prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Not even the gates of hell as to that fury can stand against you, as even the fury of God. Because Jesus cut it off at Calvary right here and stopped the fury of God. So even the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. You can never have a blemish. You can never have a spot. You can never perish. You have eternal life. You follow the Lord. He gives you eternal life, and they shall never perish that follows him. And on we could go with this wonderful thing, as the songwriter said, talking about this good old way, talking about the Lord. Let's stand together. Appreciate you coming out tonight and an opportunity to exhort you and help program your mind for a greater, fuller life. For the mission of God into the world is to bring you life, and that more abundant, filled up and overflowing, not to take from you the life that you've got, nor to put you in bondage. All things are yours if you take it through Christ by seeking him first and running it through the filter of Calvary. And all things are made for you. The only thing is, those things out there are contaminated with the devils, and you can't take the accursed thing. You have to wait till God purges it. God will bring it to you through faith. Seek the kingdom. All the other will be added. The desire of your heart, even riding upon the high places of the earth, even the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow. So then, remember that you are children of God, and all things are yours. And you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. And the day of the Lord shall not come upon you unaware, but ye shall know when it's night, even at the door. Whereas it is night, even at the door right now. So then, when you see all these things, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And realizing that you are precious children of the Lord, you have everything to rejoice over, because you cannot sin against God. Even though we pray, O Heavenly Father, forgive us, we've sinned against God and against heaven. But this kind of a sin is a trespass. See, he that is born of God cannot sin. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Though they trespass, and it would be a sin as to the world, but God will not impute it unto them as sin, so they cannot sin. It's only a trespass as to their human person, whereas God tells you with this heavenly justification as to heavenly treasure within your earthen vessel, that you should put reins upon the human body, Paul said, bringing it into subjection and keeping that thing in subjection to the great Spirit of God which is on the inside of you, being holy in body and in spirit. And that perfection that you're trying to reach is the manifestation of the perfection of your angelic man, which is already perfect in the sight of God, that you should perfect this body in holiness, perfect in holiness in the fear of God, to be holy, for I'm holy. And all of the justification there, all of the sanctification there, all the faith that you're using there is simply to bring about the perfectness of your human person as to a perfect subjection to the world or the word, taking it out of the world, because that is what the Bible calls the purchase possession. And this, of course, we'd have to go into some things. That was what I'd like to get into for a number of nights now or weeks as to the purchase possession, what it's all about. It's so beautiful it is, so beautiful. But nevertheless, I'll kind of sting with a thought here to close out tonight. You are His children. You cannot sin. God will not impute sin unto you. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. Your believing in Jesus' righteousness, in that through that He being made your sins forever to take it away, now you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And with the believing in God, I will say just this little bit here as to what we would have liked to have said concerning faith. But in believing in God, just think on this one crude little illustration. People say, I am saved by faith. I cannot dispute that. And you ask people, say, well, how can I be saved? They say, by faith in God. I cannot deny that. That is absolutely true. But I'd hope to go down a trail tonight, and perhaps one night I will, is to try to help you to differentiate between grace and faith. When you go to the faucet to get a drink of water, you don't drink the faucet. You drink the water. And faith is nothing but a channel through which grace flows. So you're not saved by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. And there's just nothing less than a world of difference. So maybe one of these nights we'll get into something that might help you along those lines. But right now let's just sing a little chorus together. What can He do with the life that's steeped in sin? What can He do when you have no hope within? Lift the fallen man down off the sinking sand. Heaven's holy plan, that's what He can do. Oh, what can He do for you, though helpless, sad, and blue? He'll do what no other power can ever do. For He'll hear every time you pray. Drive all the clouds away. Turn darkest night to day. That's, sing that again. What can Jesus do for you, though you're helpless, sad, and blue? He'll do what no other powers could ever do. For He'll hear every time you pray. Drive all the clouds away. Turn your darkest night to day. That's what He can. You sing it more time. Oh, what can Jesus do for you, though helpless, sad, and blue? He'll do what no other power can ever do. Hear every time you pray and drive all the clouds away. He'll turn darkness night to day. That's what He can do. Well, let's sing another little chorus, and while we're singing, The altars are open.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there's always room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. All my rest is from you, while I sit here at your feet, oh sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's sing this little chorus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved all like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see.
Sing it with me.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. For how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. When this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jordan. Wear the crown, we'll wear the crown. Wear the bright, shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be a child of God. We are a child of God. The writer said, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and he's enough for me. Let's sing that chorus.
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer me when when I call, for I know that I'm a child set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and He's enough for me. Sing it. We claim Jesus first of all. God's going to answer us when we call, for we know that we're the children He set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that. Sing that with me. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For I know that I'm His child. He set me free. We are God's own children by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that. And I don't need no gold or silver. I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus for me. He's everything. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the worldly fame. All I want is more of Jesus for me. Can you sing one more time? So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no diamond ring. All we need is the Holy Ghost in us. For me, He's everything. So you can keep all the gold and silver, and you can keep all the pretty things. All I want is more of Jesus. For me, He's my holy thing. Just one more time. So I don't need no gold or silver. I don't need no diamond ring. But I do want the love of Jesus, for to me He's my everything. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's sing this song together. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Sing that with me. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. One more time together now. For time shall be no on the sea and the land and time shall be no more, and we will praise Him. We the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory, all ye people. Pour His blood and wash the way.
Time together.
So we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away every stain.
With your heads bowed now, your hands lifted up to heaven, asking Willie to come and dismiss us. Search yourself tonight. See if you are in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. The Lord loves you tonight. You just don't know how much He loves you. You come through the ministry, and the ministry chastens. Paul said, "Shall I come to you with a rod of chastisement?" And why not? It's not us living, but Christ. And the Bible said, everyone that cometh to God, He chastens. And it's the minister's job to do that chastening, just like when you send your children to school. The principal has to do the chastening. And they stand at God's chastening rod. But at the same time, the principal doesn't want to have to chasten you. That's not his joy. He'd rather you'd be obedient children and that you would listen. And those that are not as to be children of that principle, He will expel them and send them on their way, as to them that would corrupt His little flock. And this, of course, is the minister's prerogative in life. But we love you. You are children in the Lord. And we don't want to have to chasten you. We want to love you and help you. And when we say things and do things, sometimes it's very grievous. For the Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. But then afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Paul said, "Shall I then come to you with a chastening rod? Or shall I come to you with a jubilant spirit as to bless you? For them that we bless are blessed, and them that we curse are cursed. And to do wrong is to grieve the minister, and that's not profitable to you. Because you grieve the Holy Spirit in so doing, because what you do to the least of these, you do it to God. So let us bless you, and let us love you, and let us lead you, and let us guide you, and let us help you. Let us strengthen you as any father and mother in the gospel would love to do, and even as in the home, as to a natural family. Begotten into Christ, and we're trying to do our very best to help you. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. And to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe the Word, because the Word is God, the Lord Jesus Christ made flesh. And whatever it says as to the promises of His good mercy and grace. And to believe that, that's the way that you receive this abundance of living. For I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you may have life in that more abundantly, which means filled up and overflow. And David said, my cup overflows. So I will praise.